If you're searching for a meaningful spiritual experience, look no further than St. Anthony's Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. Join us at 43 Holton Street in between Soldiers Field Road and the Mass Pike. Immerse yourself in the complete St. Anthony's Parish encounter through our 10 o'clock a.m. chanted Mass. Whether you're a Catholic seeking a parish to call home or someone looking for spiritual guidance, our welcoming community is here for you. Visit our website at www.stanthonyalston.org for more information. St. Anthony's Parish, where faith finds a home. Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL, 950 AM, 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. And we are here on Wednesday of the Octave of Easter. Now, the past 2 days have focused on the first reading, and as I explained to you, throughout all of Easter, the first reading will come from the Acts of the Apostles. So during the Easter season, except for the Psalm, all the readings come from the New Testament. However, I want to look at the Gospel today. First of all, it's one of my absolute favorite Gospels. And the other is that it really helps us to look at this powerful story. Now, the first reading actually is almost a transitional reading. You know, sometimes the readings will be there and they'll all have important information, but you realize that that particular reading, although it has important information as they all do, it's really a transition to bring us to the next reading, which we're going to look at tomorrow, also back in Acts. So I thought I'd take a little diversion and we'd go down to the gospel, down because I'll put it that way, besides the fact that we're looking at the story of Emmaus, but also that on my screen in front of me, I scroll down to go from the first reading to the gospel on my software, which is another thing you can use called Verbum. But in any case, I'm looking at Luke 24. As I said, this is my absolutely, positively favorite reading. And in Luke 24, we're looking at the story of Emmaus. Now, I did tell you, I've told you before, as I like to say, that I studied biblical archaeology, one course, but it still counts as saying I studied biblical archaeology at Harvard Divinity School, by the way. And so I did. And fascinating thing. Well, since then, of course, I've read biblical archaeological publications, including Biblical Archaeology Review. Just as a little note for those of you who may or may not know, there used to be two magazines, Biblical Archaeology Review and Bible Review, and they've combined a few years ago, so they are together. But they did a study they published a study a few years ago, and no one has actually ever found a place where they can say, we know for a fact that this is Emmaus, but they have found five places that they think are candidates for Emmaus. So if you don't know the story, it's one of my favorites in the Bible. It's the day that Jesus resurrects from the dead. And these two apostles, or these two disciples, one of them we know is named Cleopas, and they're walking to Emmaus. They're leaving Jerusalem, heading to Emmaus. And as they are on the way, a stranger is with them, and they're walking with the stranger, and they're all upset because, first of all, they're hearing that Jesus resurrected from the dead, but they also know the story of who Jesus is, and they were there, and here they thought that Jesus was the Messiah, and then all of a sudden he dies on the cross, and they are in shock, and they're all upset, obviously, and then they just turn around and then we're hearing reports that he resurrected from the dead. So now we're completely confused. Obviously, that's my words. And so then Jesus appears when he had appeared to them, he's walking with them. He starts to show how everything said about him said about Jesus. Of course, they see him as a stranger. They don't see him as Jesus. Everything about this Jesus, so to speak. And he talks about all the scriptures that talked about he's coming, that this is the Messiah is, and that the death and resurrection of Jesus is part of this. And it's literally, I just love the story. So there they are walking to Emmaus and he's relating this story. They don't recognize him as Jesus and he's just relating this story. This is what the scripture said. You find it here. Bing, 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 bing. Now, we know that Jesus coming once and then again are all in the scriptures. But we also know that Jesus, the Messiah coming to save us from the effects of original sin, is first announced in the book of Genesis, right after the fall, and God announces it to Adam and Eve. So we all know that that is right, and it's part of the scriptures all the way through. One of the most powerful terms that you will find listed in the Bible is, and about Jesus, is the fullness of time. That's an important word, because what it means is, and this is so true, St. Augustine talked about this too, and St. Thomas Aquinas talked about this. You know, our understanding grows. You know, there's two understandings of who we are. There is a static understanding, and there's a dynamic understanding. Static understanding is that humanity doesn't change, it's the same, but maybe our technology and everything will change and our way of living will change, but humanity is the same. And that is the I guess, one of the outgrowths of the creationist idea. Then there is the dynamic understanding, which would be the outgrowths of the evolution idea, that our we develop in a lot of ways. And in either case, whichever one you accept, there is this idea of the fullness of time, that there comes a point that you need to reach a point before you can understand something. So a good example, I'll just go from a scientific perspective. We can look at the reality of the stars and the planets and everything else. But the understanding of our universe may not have been something that people could even possibly comprehend back in the time of the pyramids. And maybe they were just busy with everything else that they didn't have time to comprehend it. But that whole understanding of what the, and granted, they did have some great studies and everything else, but they didn't have the telescope. So we look at that reality that our understanding grows over time. So that fullness of time means everything we can appreciate about Jesus and his coming and his resurrection is all happens at the time it does, because if it happened before that, people would not have that understanding that was needed to be able to embrace what was happening. So it was known as the fullness of time. And since that, our understanding grows. Well, so what we see is Jesus is explaining to these disciples on the way to Emmaus this whole reality of, look, let me explain to you how the scriptures were there. And this is what they were saying. And it doesn't say what scriptures he's talking about, but it's all there. And this is what it is and everything else. And then they suddenly realize all this is explaining that what they are now confused about, they're now understanding, and they come to realize that this was the plan all along. And then they invite this stranger to continue with them, and they, you know, they invite him to dinner, and there is this breaking of the bread, and they recognize him right then and there when there was this breaking of the bread, and then he disappears. And they get so excited, they run back to Jerusalem, and they share with the apostles that they too have seen Jesus. So this is a powerful moment, but it's a powerful story, but it also reflects something that's important, because we can look at it today. And the reason is because we do have all these prophecies. We have the prophecies from the time of Genesis right up until the Gospels, but they continue. Not so much Revelation. Revelation is now complete in Jesus Christ. But let me give you an example. One of the things that fascinates me is we're living in a time in the world when there are many people who believe in God, but there are many who don't, and they refuse to believe. Well, we do understand that one of the prophecies is that Jesus will come back in the clouds. Well, let's look at that for a minute. He'll come back in all his glory. What does that say? That says that there will come a time that Jesus will appear in such a way that the question of who he is and whether or not Jesus, whether or not we can put our faith in Jesus, will at that point be established. In other words, if you see Jesus coming back in the clouds, you're not going to say, I don't believe him. You can't, because it's pretty obvious. It would be just the same thing is, the eclipse that's coming up next week. If I were to tell you, every so often the moon goes in front of the sun and it blocks out the sun, and you go, I don't believe that's not possible. I'm going to tell you it's not. We take math and we take geometry and you tell me, and that's just not possible. And then all of a sudden it happens, then you can't say it's not possible. And you can say, well, my calculations, I couldn't figure out how that could possibly happen. And so you understand that eventually it comes to a point that you can't deny that that's a reality. Well, that prophecy, you can't deny, there will come a point where no one can deny the reality of Jesus Christ and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, everything we believe in. We're not there yet, but we will come to that point. And that's what we see in Emmaus. They weren't there. And then finally, when Jesus dies and rises and he ascends, and then all of a sudden he appears. Well, actually, before the ascension, when he died, dies and rises. And then he appears to them. Now they come to realize that, yes, they can't deny that all these prophecies now came true. We'll talk more tomorrow. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. If you are searching for a meaningful spiritual experience, look no further than St. Anthony's Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. Join us at 43 Holton Street in between Soldiers Field Road and the Mass Pike. Immerse yourself in the complete St. Anthony's Parish encounter through our 10 o'clock a.m. chanted Mass. Whether you're a Catholic seeking a parish to call home or someone looking for spiritual guidance, our welcoming community is here for you. Visit our website at www.stanthonyalston.org for more information. St. Anthony's Parish, where faith finds a home.